All right. Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome, welcome to my favorite 2 hours of my week right here on Camo X, the home improvement show. Absolutely love what we're doing, where we all just kind of get together as a community, roll up our sleeves, and dive into all things remodeling, renovation, maintenance. It doesn't matter. We've got it going for you. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to guide you through that world of home improvement, maintenance, whatever you're tackling. Maybe DIY project, you're looking for some expert advice on getting through that, or hiring a contractor for a certain piece, fixing any leaky faucets and full-scale renovations, doesn't matter. Anything in between, no question, is too big or too small. We've got you covered today. So you can find me at 314-436-7900. Grab your favorite drink, cup of coffee, whatever you got. Sit down. Let's get into your house, your home. Let's make your home the home of your dreams, what you really want and would love to happen. We've got 2 hours right here today to get through all of this. And like I said, this is my favorite 2 hours of the week, getting to help all of our homeowners, our houses, our beautiful hometown of St. Louis, help everyone just be its best through all of that. Help the listeners with your questions, your comments, your concerns, your remodeling and maintenance challenges. Again, you can find me today right here, 314-436-7900. And we do have Cardinals will be cutting in a little bit after the 12 o'clock hour, but we'll still have a full 2 hours for the home improvement fans. So if you're looking for more information here after 12:15, 12:20, when we get into Cardinals baseball, all you got to do is jump over to the FM side, 97.1 FM, and you will be able to get in, same phone number, get your calls, your questions in for the rest of the time up till 1 o'clock with us. So 97.1 FM is where we will be after 12:20 when the Cardinals start. So we will have a full 2 hours for the home improvement show. And speaking of getting to people and helping out and doing my favorite thing for the next 2 hours of today, we got Donna on the line. So let's
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Donna. Thanks for calling.
Well, I'm grateful for your help here, or for your service. I've got, I don't know, can I ask two quick questions? One's smart, one's short, and one might be a little longer. Sure. I have some lights that are flashing when I turn them on. I kind of got a feeling that it might be the light switch. This is an older house built in the 70s, and we put in lights that can be dimmed, and they will either flash or not come on as bright. Do you think that might be the switch?
So you added a dimmer switch? You changed
yes, uh-huh.
it out to make it a dimmer switch? So uh-huh. it's definitely some kind of connectivity thing between the switch and the actual light bulb. And that can happen at any of those connections where you hooked up the switch. If the switch is not working right, or if any of the connections are a little bit loose, then it can cause that kind of cutting on and off and flashing thing. If the bulb isn't in tight enough, there's, you know, two connections at the end of the bulb and the screw part that actually screw in and tighten. And if that bulb is just a little bit loose, that's a connection that can cause that to happen. And you've got your connections at the actual fixture that could cause that.
I didn't think about that part.
Yeah, yeah. And so it seems easy to jump right to the switch, since that's something that you've changed and worked on. And the last thing that I would kind of ask about and check into for this is in the fixture itself, there's light bulbs in the fixture, right? It's not like a fixture that comes with LED lights already in it or something like that.
It's one of those recessed lights in the ceiling.
Okay. So yeah, like a can light.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
Do you have an LED bulb in that can light?
Good question. It came with the fixture, so
okay. So
I don't know.
It would be worth the first thing I would try is I would take that bulb out and see, because not all bulbs are dimmable.
Ah.
So see if the bulb says it's dimmable, and you may need any more. For me, I pretty much need a magnifying glass to see that stuff
<too. laughs>
on a light bulb, because it's going to be, yeah, it'll be either really fine print on the bulb itself, or it'll be really fine print like around the screw portion on the edge.
Okay.
Where it's just small, tiny black letters. Now, another thing that you could do if you're tech savvy enough is if you see the bulb and you see what you can easily make out, like the make of the bulb, when they're in there, there's different model numbers of bulbs, like a R30, something like that. And you could look that up and try and see it online if it's dimmable, if you have like the model number, and that might be easier to read because sometimes it just wears out and you just can't even find it on the bulb.
Those are all great tips.
Yeah, and that may be worth, if you can't figure the bulb out, maybe just buy a new LED bulb that fits for your fixture and you know is dimmable because it's new and you've bought it in the box and it says it's dimmable, and then just try that, because that's going to be your easiest, quickest response to that to find out if it is the bulb. So it could be like three or four different things.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing it has something more to do with the connection at the bulb, because the switch is connected to three bulbs and only one is doing that. So I think I'm going to need an electrician for this, unfortunately.
Yep. Maybe the first thing you try is check the bulb and just try and tighten it and see if the bulb feels loose, and then go from there.
Oh, that sounds great. Great tips. My last question is water in the house, water in the basement, but of course it only comes, well, I shouldn't say of course, but it does only come in when it's a heavy rain. Had a sump pump put in, but they didn't go all the way around the perimeter of the house because it wasn't coming in all the way around the house. So we had them add more of those trenches and pipes or whatever they put in, and that stopped it for a while, and then once again the water's coming in. So is there some kind of a business that can come in and tell me, is it the lay of the land, is it actually coming in through some crack that I can't find, or I mean, what kind of a business? I mean,
sure, yeah, I know. That's definitely difficult. I would ask, is your basement finished or unfinished?
Well, sort of finished. It's really, I mean, it does have some ceiling tiles in it and some paneling, but it's nothing that's, you know, done. It's not a completed finished basement. It's just kind of rustic and old.
Yeah. Okay. And so basically where you're seeing it, it's probably hard for you to tell if it's coming in at the floor or if it's maybe higher up on a wall or something, because the wall.
I'm sure it's the floor, because I don't see any water flow coming from any place on the wall. There's no water marks. There's no wet walls. It's coming in from the floor.
So this is something that I do myself, and we have people at Mosby Building Arts that look at stuff like this, and we can look at projects also a couple different ways, where we can suggest like a foundation company if we're like, you just need a new sump pump and there's really nothing for us, and we can suggest someone to do that work for you. But we also have a few of us that have good expertise at water management and looking at the whole house, around the house, inside and out, and kind of advising what could be going on, what may help it, what you may be into both things. But to me, and you kind of alluded to the same thing, if you handle water from the outside, you might not always 100% correct a groundwater problem to a basement. But if you get rid of any percentage of the water that gets there, whether it's 10% or 90%, It's just good for the basement, the for the ground, for the foundation, and for your sump pump system. Because even if you if we cut the water that gets to your sump pump in half because we regrade or we do things to the outside of your house to manage water and keep it away, then your sump pump system's going to work half as much as it used to. And it will just work better, and it will last longer, and it will be less likely to have to be overwhelmed and have things come in and all of that. So examining the whole house for this issue inside and out and really making a plan and seeing if there's anything to be done outside and just educating you on here's the different things, here's the percentages, here's what may or may not happen, and then you can make a good decision on do I just do this, do I just correct my sump pump, are there things outside I think would be worth it, and we do that and we try and help, and so we can examine the whole thing and just kind of guide you in the right direction, and then we can do a lot of the work a lot of the times, especially to the outside and all of that. So
that sounds like the best solution that anybody has given me so far. So well, yes sir.
So yeah, because foundation people can they can focus on the foundation and controlling water and all of this. And then I look at the house and I figure out it's a window leak and it's getting into the wall of the home and it's mm-hmm. rotting the floor of the home before mm-hmm. you're seeing it at the foundation. And I'm like, well, if we fix the wall and fix the leak and fix the rot and we make the water from the window leak not leak and go where we want it to go, then everything goes away. So it's kind of where you're controlling this water from. They may not understand the whole house as a scientific, what should we do home to protect it? So they stop looking once they get to the top of the foundation.
That's exactly what happened. Yes, sir.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say give our office a call and let them know you spoke to me and that, you know, just want to get some water management looked at around your house. And we'll definitely come out and take a look at that. But so I got to get to our first break here. Great conversation. Great question. I really appreciate the call there, Donna. And Eric, if you can hold on for just a couple minutes through this short break, we'll get to you as soon as we return. All right. We are off to a great, quick, fast start with the conversations and the calls. Having a great time. Remember, everybody, we'll have plenty of time. We got a lot of show coming at you here till 1 o'clock. So you can find me at 314-436-7900. And let's get right to Eric, who was nice enough to hold on through the break. Eric, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Appreciate your call. First time caller to you. So
appreciate
your service.
Hey, no problem.
A water issue situation too. When we had that real bad rain, where it rained and rained and rained. In our basement, we had some water coming in from the outside wall. And we've got a geothermal type of situation. And it was coming in, like with the geothermal, you know, you have the lines that sort of run in your ground. Well, we've got the tubing that comes in off of a wall into the basement. And the water was sort of coming in around one of those tubes. Do you follow me okay?
Yes, I do. Yep.
And the tubes actually have like some caulking that go around the side of the tubing, and it was real bad one night. I had to stay up during the night to sort of swish the water into a drain that we have, and then the next after one and a half, 2 days, it's fine. We haven't had any problems since then. So we looked out, and I had a Bellow Supply plumbing place. They came out, and they looked at the situation, and they pretty much said, you know, it was just really a gigantic, you know, rain problem we had. And he said, I don't really see any other problems. Now, I noticed that there's like some caulking that had gone around those lines coming in. Uh-huh. And he really said that they don't do too much about that. But what kind of a caulking material would you suggest putting around those lines?
Well, so to really make the caulking super effective around those lines, it's very hard to do because when you have that pipe going through your foundation is 8 inches thick or thicker.
Okay.
So the water's on the outside of the wall, and when you get that much rain, it actually puts pressure on that that wall, and it's pushing the water in around that hole, around those pipes. So you right. have 8 inches or more of foundation, the water's getting forced in, and you're caulking around that pipe's only going to go in around that pipe, however deep you can physically see, dig out the old caulking and or get it, which is going to be a quarter inch or a half inch or something of that foundation. So you can use a good caulk around there, like a urethane-based type caulk for concrete, and it will work as well as it can until it's overwhelmed by that pressure. Caulk works yeah. better on the surface. So if the wall was, if you were trying to hold water from the inside of the basement from getting to the outside through that, that would hold that a lot better. So what I'd ask you is, so do you have a sump pump around?
No, we don't.
You don't?
We don't have a sump pump. And I think I've got some outside the wall problems too, because of the fact that there's a little bit of a pitch that sort of from the landscaping on the outside, a little bit of a pitch that sort of heading into that area. And I was just going to do a couple of suggestions, see if you think this would be good. I was thinking about sort of digging some of the rock and landscaping out in that area, mm-hmm. and maybe trying to get a real hard clay kind of a dirt and sort of really do a lot of filling that in all around the foundation. Do you think that would help out also?
So that would help get water kind of moving away. But I also think you've got these pipes and they go out into your yard. They travel right. a good distance. So that may not help it as much as we would hope, because those pipes are going way out in your yard and they're probably placed in rock around them. And so it's an easy way for water to travel. So if the water's 20 feet away, it can travel in that trench with that those pipes. But if you're okay. going to do that outside landscaping stuff, and depending on how deep, the other way that you could look at trying to address that pipe is to dig down to the pipe on the outside of the house.
Okay, and you clean down up, all the way to, okay.
Yep, and you clean everything up and you address that from the outside also. And that'll, so now you're on the outside surface, so that could be a little better, and you could put like some tar type substance around it, clean it up real good, or you can even have, the best thing you could probably do is once that pipe's exposed from the outside is have a foundation company do, they can do an epoxy coating, they can do like a carbon fiber piece of sheeting in an epoxy coating and spread that on and get that around that pipe, and that could help, and that'll work better because you're addressing it from the outside, so you're stopping it at the pressure point. That's just going to last longer. It's just a lot more expensive and a lot harder to do because you got to dig down, and that pipe's probably pretty deep.
Yeah, how deep do you think those pipes probably might be where it enters the house? I mean, on the outside, where it comes in at the top of the basement, until it hits the lot place where there's like where our water line is, or where you turn the water on and off. It's probably like about, you know, six feet or so,
yep.
just in that tubing coming down from the entryway.
Yeah, so that's how deep you'll end up needing to go to get to that pipe. So
oh,
it
boy,
is
yeah.
a lot of digging on the outside, and that's why this doesn't happen a whole lot. The other thing I was going to suggest from the inside is there is a way to that foundation companies can address that wall and that water and get that water down under your floor into a sump pump if you already had a sump pump. But if you
don't
that's
have
a lot to
yeah,
go through. If you don't have a sump pump, you're probably not dealing with something that happens often enough that you may need one.
Yeah, this is pretty much, the guy said it was like probably a once-in-a-lifetime kind of a thing because they had so much rain at that time. Although, you know, fortunately we were able to sweep the water, you know, into a drain as it was coming in, and then the next day it was perfectly fine. So if I was just going to try something, do it myself.
Yep, I would just try the inside. There's concrete caulking that's meant for concrete joints, and you can... clean the concrete, scrape all the old caulk out, clean it real good, and there's actually a primer you can put on the concrete that'll help the caulk stick to the concrete. So get some of that primer, prime all around it with the little ball sponge and the primer, and let that set up, dry everything, and then caulk it with a like urethane-based concrete caulk. It's the same thing we'd use on like a driveway expansion or something out on your sidewalk or your driveway, and caulk it with that, and that will probably hold it off. And you just may need to redo that every few years or so as you get these big rains and they reoccur. If it starts coming in, just keep redoing that.
But that would be started doing that outside, coming at it from the outside, then doing it that way, wouldn't it?
Because I would just do it on the inside, unless you're apt to wanting to dig down 6 feet or hire someone to dig down 6 feet,
right?
And do all that.
Yeah.
If you continue to have a problem, I might say try and find somebody to do it from the outside.
Yeah, but on the inside, basically, there's no place that really the tubing is just comes in from the outside wall, and that's where you said get some of that concrete caulking to put that
yep.
put in that area.
Yep, and get the primer, clean it up real well. Make sure all the old caulk's out, kind of brush it with like a wire brush, get it cleaned up real well, put the primer, liquid primer on it. That'll kind of give you a good base to stick to, get rid of all the dust, and then just caulk it.
Because there's four tubes that are coming in from the outside, but I think it's just primarily just one of them has the caulk where it's you can see the caulk where it is broken out in that area. So
yeah.
I'll hit that area primarily. And
yep.
it's also where the water line comes in. You know, you can see, like, when you look at the wall where the water has drained down that wall area there, too.
Yeah, yep. Yep,
okay,
I think that's a good starting point for you. All right,
okay,
Eric.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No problem. You are very, very welcome. And, again, we're going to have to jump into a break. If Mary can hold the line through the break, we will get to you as soon as we return right after this. All right, we are back. We got a lot of things going on. Having a great time. Don't forget, there will be more segments, more time. Jump in on the fun and the conversation. Get your stuff figured out for your house, whatever you have going on. 314-436-7900 will get you right to me, just like what Mary did. We got Mary on the line. Can you hear me? Are you there, Mary?
Yes. The fiber material that was used in my 14-year-old driveway expansion joints is deteriorating. And should that be removed, replaced, caulked? What
yes.
is necessary there?
Yeah, yeah. So you have like kind of a black colored fiber board that's going away and just
yeah,
running.
It yep. was it was probably oh, maybe, I'm not sure, half an inch wide, and I don't know how deep it went, but they were like long strips of this fiber-type material that was dark
yes.
in color.
Yep, yep. So, yes, as that deteriorates and goes away, it is a good idea to clean that out and caulk those expansion joints. And basically, so that fiber board that you're looking at goes all the way down to the ground, to the rock base. So it separates those slabs of concrete from each other 100% so that they can kind of move and expand and contract and move around individually from each other. So once that starts to wear out or get spaces, as water runs down, it will run right into that expansion joint down to your rock base, and it can eventually cause you to need some mud jacking, slabs kind of sinking, stuff like that. So getting the water, keeping it on the surface and running it off the top of that driveway is and or sidewalk, patio, any type of concrete is ideal. Away from the house, down towards the street, get the water away. So and kind of what I was talking about in the last call is kind of the same type of caulking. You pull out that expansion fiber joint that's in there, clean it out, and then you put in a like foam backer rod. It's like a round piece of foam that's very long. You can buy like a 50-foot length, 100-foot length, cut it off, and you jam that in there, and that'll hold your caulk so that you're not trying to fill up like a 4-inch tall area. So you shove that down there until you've got about a good quarter to a half inch of caulk, or a good quarter to a half inch below the surface of the concrete. Like I was talking about in the last one too, it's a great idea to power wash first, clean first, apply that primer that I was talking about prior to caulking on each side of the concrete, and that will help that caulk really stick well to the concrete. So then when you caulk it, it just levels out with the concrete. You can buy a self-leveling concrete if the driveway isn't too steep of a pitch, and just kind of caulk that in there, spread it down, let it settle out, and then that will be a good rubberized caulking surface that the water can just run off and run away.
Well, I would probably have find a company to do that, because I have a lot of concrete. It's a rear entry garage, you know, so all that concrete, and then expands to my patio too.
Yep. And it will be a little labor intensive to do. And the other thing, if you haven't done it in a really long time, or you if you've never done it, it when you power wash that all that concrete, it's a great idea to seal all the concrete as well.
Okay, just, so you do rec. Yeah. Originally, when I had the driveway put in, SealMax did the sealing, you know, the deep sealing and then a surface sealing. But I have not, you know, done anything since then.
Yep, and that would be a great conversation to have with the people coming to look at the driveway for caulking, sealing, all of that, so that they know what was on there before. They can kind of test it and see if it's working or not.
I did get one company that has come out so far, and he suggested power washing and sealing, as well as addressing the expansion joints.
Yep.
The sealant that they want to put down only lasts 2 years. Is there sealant that lasts longer?
There's definitely sealants that are like a kind of like a silicone based sealant that goes down into the pores of the concrete, and that will definitely last longer. Sealants, it's some of these sealants might say, like a good silicon sealant concrete sealer might say it would last like 5 to 10 years, but it is a system that wears, and it does depend on exposure of what's going on with it. So it's good to just kind of test it out and see how well it's working and how long it's lasting by putting some water on it and seeing if it beads up. Because it will wear out. If it gets more sun, it will wear out and kind of burn out with the sun. If it gets a whole lot of water, rain, if you have sprinklers hitting a certain area, that might wear it out faster. So it is definitely something you want to keep your eye on. But yes, the sealants, there are some out there that can last longer. It sounds like maybe they were talking about a topical type of sealant that just goes on the surface, and those wear off a little bit quicker than the ones that go inside the pores. I would say you can call B&W Concrete Services, because they power wash and seal driveways, and they use a good sealant that we prefer here at Mosby that I really like. But knowing what the last company put on might drive a certain sealant also. So once they hear what it was.
What was the name of that company again?
It's called B&W Concrete Services.
Concrete Services.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I thank you very much.
Hey, you are very welcome. I appreciate the call. And great thing to do, especially here in St. Louis, with the different temperatures that we have, the temperature sways, the freeze thaw. Sealing the concrete is very important, and sealing the concrete will help that caulk stick and work better and keep that water out of your expansion and control joints as well. So we are going to take a break here. We'll get right back into things shortly. Remember, you can find me at 314-436-7900. Got plenty of time left for everybody. Love to hear from you, and we'll be right back after this. So, hey, guys, this is Rich Orris, and, you know, we were just talking to Mary about some caulking, about sealing her concrete. Actually offered up my good friends at B&W Concrete Services. It's who I use. It's who Mosby's used. They've done work at my house. They will get your stuff done the right way. They'll talk to you. They'll analyze. They'll talk about what was that last sealant, so we know we're putting the best sealant on top of whatever was there before. They can test it out, make sure it's working, but they can also do all of your concrete needs. They can get to everything, and they will do it better than anybody. I guarantee you, they do every type of concrete out there: foundations, retaining walls, decorative walls, flat work, standard, custom, new construction, tear out and replace, doesn't matter. They do it all. You can find them at bwconcrete.com or give them a call, 636-458-3626.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
All right, guys, we are back. A lot of show to go, a lot of show coming up. Remember, once we get into the 12 o'clock hour and we get into the Cardinal baseball starts, if you're a Cards fan, perfect. Stick with KMOX. You will get everything you're looking for. If you're a home improvement fan and you want more information, you're going to be able to jump over to 97.1 FM, get to the FM side. You can get right back to the show. Same line, same everything. Finds me, 314-436-7900. And speaking of the lines, I think we got a caller on the line. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for calling.
No, thank you for your service.
What do we got going on?
I got a 140-year-old farmhouse, and of course it had a back porch on it that used to be open. And since then, you know, it's tongue groove flooring. Since then, it's been partially enclosed into a closet, and then the back porch is still there, and it's closed off. But what I have is it's void underneath. And it's dirt. And so I've looked at different ways that I could fill that void to help for insulation and also maybe help retard some of the water that wants to seep off the patio and then come through the basement walls, because it's the old stone walls and old basement. You're familiar with them.
Yes. Yep.
So I was looking at, is there a possibility of foam insulation, or the stuff that they use for have somebody come out that does the mud jacking? Is there a service, something like that, that can pump something in there?
Is it a foundation around the actual porch that's enclosed down to the ground, or is the porch up on like post and stilts?
How far it goes in the ground. I don't know if there's a footing, but there is a stone wall all the way around it, and then, you know, boarding up over it, you know, a flashing on it. But I couldn't tell you how far that goes in the ground or anything else.
Okay. And is there access to underneath this from the basement?
Be access through, not through the basement. And it has the old, you know, outside entrance that is still there. I mean, they could open that up, and then that's on in the porch area, and it opens up in the basement.
Okay. So there's kind of a crawl space underneath it that you can get access to
Well, not really a crawl space. It's just a void under there. What I can best guess is it's about, they're all made out of 2x6s, the joists are for the porch, and it has anywhere from 4 to up to 7 inches below the joists. And it looks like the dirt runs towards, you know, slopes towards the basement wall.
Towards the house, towards the foundation.
And I can open up, I mean, the porch can be opened up where they can get access and do something in there.
Yeah, and it sounds like that may be, you may need to access this through the porch floor. By redoing the porch floor, because basically what to do any type of insulation, you're going to have to make sure you control the moisture and everything underneath that floor, or else you'll get mold and stuff happening so fast once you try and insulate that. And if it's not breathing and air movement and all of that, it'll start to occur pretty quickly. So really what you're looking to do is put a rubber liner over that dirt and kind of up onto that stone wall, so you can keep the ground moisture underneath that rubber liner. And what you could do is, if you take the porch floor out and your floor joists are there and you have access, kind of slope the dirt, just add some dirt and everything and slope that dirt towards the front of the porch foundation to keep water from running all the way back underneath the liner. Then you have them install this liner, and that'll hold moisture down below it. And then you can put in some boards that are kind of towards the bottom of your floor joist, and then you can put insulation in between the floor joists, whether it's a fiberglass bat that just kind of lays on those boards, or you could spray like a foam insulation in there and air seal it real good and insulate it real good that way. And then you put your porch floor, new floor, back on, whatever, cover that floor back up. And basically you're treating it as and creating this crawl space to control the humidity and the moisture and stop the mold and stop condensation from occurring and all that. So the only problem is you don't have enough room to access it. We usually do this from underneath. So I think you'd be up taking that porch floor out and then doing that system and then putting the porch floor back. So, sound good?
Yeah, thank you. That helps out a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Good luck with that. That is, it's going to be kind of quite the task there to get that taken care of. And for these rubber liners and getting this stuff in, we have an insulation company, Goalie Insulation, that does this Duriscrim liner for us, and they do the spray foam insulation to seal it up and everything. So that's a good avenue for that liner system for everybody to keep that moisture out, and then they can work on the insulation value and everything else too. So we're going to get into our top of the hour break. Remember, you can find me 314-436-7900. We got plenty more to come. Once Cardinals start in the 12 o'clock hour, jump over to 97.1 FM. You'll find me there. Same number, everything. We'll be right back.